In the century or so since their invention, automobiles have had a major effect on American life. They have revolutionized transportation, and in the process, they have changed geographic and spatial patterns, our beliefs and behavior, and our economic and environmental relationships. They also have a literal impact, as the steel and glass and rubber of cars comes into violent contact with the flesh and blood of animals. When Dr. America commutes to and from work, he often finds evidence of this biological contact on his windshield. Bugs and insects smoosh on the smooth glass and leave their guts as a reminder of the car's impact on the biosphere. On the road between his home and the American Studies Museum, Dr. America often spots the corpses of dogs and cats, squirrels and rabbits, fox and deer. Sometimes the bodies are reduced from 3 dimensions to 2, flattened by the passing parade of cars. They have been converted from animals to what Americans colloquially call roadkill. Roadkill occurs where nature and culture collide. According to the dictionary, a road is an open way, generally public, for the passage of vehicles, persons, and animals. In the olden days, of course, animals did use roads, especially as the motive force of human conveyance, as the word horsepower still suggests. But not today. Roads today are a way of marking significant portions of the Earth's surface for human use alone. In the last century, Americans have paved 2% of the country's total land area and 10% of its arable acreage. In the process, we have relegated animals to other specialized spaces, except, of course, for animals being transported by trucks to slaughterhouses, where they become another kind of kill. The animals that Dr. America sees as flattened silhouettes on the surface of the highway are those that stray from their reservations onto the road and pay the price for their error. Even animals that don't violate the space get killed by roads, if less directly and dramatically. Even with no traffic, road cuts and road construction alter natural stream and shoreline processes, such as sediment movement, fish passage, temperature differences, and nutrient cycles. Cars routinely drip, seep, spill, and leak their vital fluids, oil and gas and antifreeze, onto the surface of roads. These fluids, along with toxic metals and hydrocarbons that concentrate on concrete and asphalt surfaces, become a part of the water cycle. In his provocative new book, The Car and the City, Alan Durney notes that pavement concentrates stormwater, reduces surface permeability and groundwater recharge, and increases flooding and drying of streams. Car exhausts also contain particulate matter that comes to rest on solid surfaces, while road salt and roadside herbicides affect whole ecosystems. At the same time, roads that speed human movement cut off animal migrations and cut up the habitat needed for survival. All of these impacts change the nature of the nature that can live near roads. Roadkill extends beyond the bodies on the road. Human beings also become roadkill, although for some reason Americans shy away from describing themselves that way. Roadkill, we think, is a term for animals, forgetting, of course, that people are animals too. Over 40,000 Americans die annually in car accidents in this country, and many more are wounded in action. This is many times more than the number of people killed in urban violence, but we don't seem to worry as much about roadkill as about inner-city slaughter. Perhaps this is because, even though it describes the death of nature, roadkill is so normal that it seems natural. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, on the road, but not yet flattened by the experience.